بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد، فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد الفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في الصلاة خاشعون وقال تعالى فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون وقال تعالى قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. So we discussed the recitation of Surah Fatiha. According to Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayh, the recitation of Surah Fatiha is fard. According to Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, the recitation of Surah Fatiha is wajib. Nevertheless, it is required and necessary to read Surah Fatiha. And to join a surah to Surah Fatiha is also wajib. And or parna audu or bismillah ka sunnat hai. And before Surah Fatiha to read audu and tasmiyah is sunnat. Or is makam par Surah Ikhlas yani kul huwallah likhi jati hai. So we will write kul huwallah in this place. That means because Shah Ahmad Shaheed rahmatullahi alayhi mentions the reason why kul huwallah is written after Surah Fatiha. ایک یہ کہ عوام الناس نماز میں بیشتر اسی کو پڑھتے ہیں. One is that generally the general people recite this surah. دوسرے یہ کہ توحید اور سمدیت اس میں ہے. And the second is that the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the independence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned. And we know from our own experience that this is one of our favorite surahs. And it should be also because it's impregnated with Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one occasion, a sahabi came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informing him that the general of the army who was the imam in the expedition, that when reading salah in every rakat, he would read Surah Fatiha, a surat, and join Surah Ikhlas with it. And so they found it a bit surprising that in every rakat he joined Surah Ikhlas with it. So he asked Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the general used to do this, the Amir of the expedition used to do this. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam summoned him and asked him as to what prompted him. There might be a reason. So he said, because of my love for the surah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that your love for the surah will enter you into Jannah. Because it is, and Sahaba had inclination towards the surah also naturally because it was impregnated with Tawheed and the oneness and the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say, oh, that means say Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh my beloved Nabi, say huwallahu ahad, that Allah is one. Hazrat Hakim Sahib explains one beautiful point. He says, if you look, that the two surahs below it also starts with Qul. Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq also starts with Qul. Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Nas also starts with Qul. And the surah above Surah Ikhlas, Tabbat Yada, Allah does not say Qul. Nabi says. So Hazrat explains the reason. He says, look how Allah Ta'ala kept the character of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the purity of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in mind. Because in Qul Huwallah, because it had to do with the wahdaniyat of Allah, the unity of Allah, the oneness of Allah, so Allah is telling Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say that He, Allah, is one. In Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq, to seek protection. So Allah ta'ala instructs Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in Tabbat Yada, it was making badwa to the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it mustn't be that somebody will object later on that what type of a Nabi that he curse his own uncle. So there Allah says, I will take it upon myself and curse your uncle. Tabbat yada Abi Lahab. May the hands of Abu Lahab be in dust. That means maybe he's zaleel. May he be disgraced. So Allah Ta'ala took it upon himself to mention directly without the word Qul. So Qul huwa Allahu Ahad. And this Hazrat Hakim Sahib, in quoting Allama Arusi rahmatullah alayhi, in the tafsir of Surah Ikhlas, he mentions that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taken qasam on the surah and taking qasam and saying that this is Ismi Adam. And he mentioned the riwayat that Huzur sallallahu alayhi wasallam ne in ayat ke Ismi Adam hone par Allah ki qasam utahi hai. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam took a qasam and an oath that this is the Ismi Adam. Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sami'a rajulan yaqul. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam heard a person reciting and saying these words, Allahumma inni as'aluk bi anni ashhadu annaka antallah alladhi la ilaha illa ant al-ahad as-samad alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. Wa qala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam walladhi nafsi bi yadihi laqad sa'ala Allah bi ismihi al-adam alladhi idha du'iya bihi ajab wa idha su'ila bihi a'ta. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard a person reading, Allahumma inni as'aluk. Oh Allah, I ask you. Bi anni ashhadu, because I testify that you are Allah and there is no deity except you. Al-ahad, the one. As-samad, the independent. Al-ladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad, who does not beget, nor is he begotten. That means, basically that he does not give birth to anybody, nor did anybody give birth to him. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad, and there is none like him. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard him making dua like this, immediately Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded with qasam. Walladhi nafsi biyadihi. I take an oath by that being in whose hands is my life. He has asked in Allah's Ismi Adam. And his Ismi Adam is such, idha duya bihi ajab. When he is called by this name, he responds. Wa idha suila bihi aata. When he is asked, he grants. So that's one lesson we learned, that if you want to ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, read Surah Ikhlas. And ask in the name of Surah Ikhlas to Allah. It's the Ismi Adam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat emphasized after that, that Allah took qasam on this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took qasam on this. So, kul huwa Allahu ahad. Say, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that He Allah is one. Then Hazrat explains, Hazrat Muhammad ibn Sahab explains, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word ahadya. It could be, Allah could have used the word wahid. But here the word ahad is such, that it is, you can use ahad only on its own. For example, you can't say ahad alf. You can say it wahid alf, wahid million, 1,000, 1,000,000. But ahad million, ahad alf you do not say. Ahad is only used on its own. You do not join anything else to it. To show that Allah is alone, He is unique, you cannot join Him to anything. Therefore specifically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Allahu samad. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is independent. As Hakim sahab quotes a hadith of as Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala to explain the word as-samad. What is samad? Al-mustaghni an kulli ahad. Allah is that being that is independent of everyone. Al-muhtaj ilayhi kullu ahad. And everyone requires Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is totally independent. He doesn't require anybody, our ibadat, our praising Him, our glorifying Him. But by praising Allah, we become praiseworthy. By glorifying Allah and saying that Allah is free from faults, with the barakat of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes our faults. By mentioning tabarak, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ba-barakat, as the Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi says, as Mawla Zakariya sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, a person becomes ba-barakat himself. So, Allah does not require these praises. Allah requires nobody. Al-mustaghni an kulli ahad. Al-muhtaj ilayhi kullu ahad. And everybody requires Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, kul huwa Allahu ahad. Say, He Allah is one. Allahu samad. Allah ta'ala is independent. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He is not begotten. That means, He is not born from somebody, nor he does not give birth to anybody, nor is anybody born from him. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. And none is equal to him. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then as it mentioned, that what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's maqam in mind when reading Tabbat Yada and قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ. Because it was impregnated with Tawheed, Nabi Allah Ta'ala instructed Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to say these words. And Allahu Samad, that Allah Ta'ala is independent, and we should realize that we are totally dependent every second of our lives to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. As Hakim Sahib in the explanation of the surah, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, He mentions the ayat in Allah Samad, Ya ayyuhan nas, antumul fuqara ila Allah. That, O people, you are beggars to Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this in Jumla Ismiya in the Arabic language. It starts with a noun, a nominative or nominative sentence, meaning, yadullu ala dawam wal istimrar. Jumla Ismiya in a sentence that starts with a noun in Arabic normally shows continuity and perpetuality. That means continuous. So, not that you are a beggar once upon a time, but you are a permanent beggar. You are a registered beggar. Sometimes when people got the surname Fakir, they change it. But they should be proud that Allah is saying Antumul Fukara. In fact, we are all Fakirs. Even if your surname is Patel, you are Patel Fakir. You are Bayat Fakir. Our surnames are attached with Fakir. Because Allah is saying Antumul Fukara ila Allah. You are all beggars to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara ila Allah. You are all beggars to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then as I mentioned in an incident, there was this one person that every bayan he used to give, he had only one mazmoon on Karbala. So every Jummah bayan, week after week after week, some aspect of Karbala. So one day the audience told him that Hazrat, that every year, every week, mashallah, we're hearing the same mazmoon. So change a bit so we get a different flavor also. So he said, no problem, inshallah. This Jummah bayana, this Jummah I'll speak on Tawheed, the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he thought of having Surah Ikhlas, because this is impregnated with Tawheed, full of Tawheed. So he started his Jummah bayan. He said, the people are complaining that I give the same bayan every week. Probably you must be saying, I say this every year also. So you all, mashallah. So anyway, so he said, today I'm speaking of Surah Ikhlas. So he said, Qul. Say, who is commanding? Allah is commanding. Who is he commanding? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The grandfather of Hassan and Hussein. And he started with the Karbala incident. Again, after. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, As-Samad, He is independent. And this we should understand, that when we understand the word Kareem, Alladhi a'ata biduni khawf ayyan fadama indahu. He gives in such a way that we require from Him first and foremost, and Allah gives in such a way without fear of termination by what He has. Allah ta'ala's treasury is like that. There is no diminishing in the treasury of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this comes in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَوْ أَنَّ أَوَّلَكُمْ وَآخِرَكُمْ وَإِنسَكُمْ وَجِنَّكُمْ قَوْمُوا فِي سَعِيدٍ وَاحِدٍ. If the first amongst you and the last amongst you, that means everyone amongst you without any exception, in every different color and language and dialect. In China there's over different 80 languages. So just the Chinese speaking in that 80 different languages. In India, there's over 60 different languages, just two countries. And with different dialects within a language. And each one asking to his heart content. The Anbiya according to their ma'rifat of Allah. The Awliya according to their ma'rifat of Allah. The Sulaha according to their ma'rifat of Allah. The ordinary person according to his understanding of Allah. If he gives everyone what they ask in their language to their heart's fault, فَآتَيْتُ كُلِّ إِنسَانٍ مَسْأَلَهُ. Allah says, I will give everyone what he asks. مَا نَكَسَ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا إِنْدِي إِلَّا كَمَا يَنْكُسُ الْمِخْيَةِ إِذَا أُدْخِلَ الْبَحْرِ. It will not decrease in my treasury, not even to the extent when a needle is placed in the sea. How much water does a needle take out from the sea? Not, that is just for us to understand. Wallah, not even to that extent it diminishes from the treasury of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone asking to his heart's content, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give. There is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And this surah, this standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shah Ahmad Shaheer rahmatullah alayhi says, you should have this thought. Is ardash ke mazmoon ko is tarah se samjhe. This putting forward to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading Tana, Surah Fatiha, etc. Ki koi muflis se muflis, تونگر سے تونگر بادشاہ کے سامنے دست بستہ کرا ہو کر اپنی عاجزی اور مفلسی اور اس کی تونگری اور برائی بیان کرتا ہے. So one is that a person that is completely poor, a beggar, He's standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has everything. And he's making known his need in front of this zat that is so gigantic. So when a person is reading salah, understand it in this way. Namaz shuru karne se pehle wali sharte guzishta sabak pe bayan ho chuki hai. As far as the sharait and the preconditions, in the previous lesson, in lesson number 1, we have discussed it already. Salik un par achi tarah mashq karne ke baad, is sabak par amal kare. First make amal on the first sabak, now then continue. Is tarah ke awal namaz parne mein niyat ko khalis Allah jalla shanu ke liye karte hue, Allahu akbar par tasawur karte hue kahe. So first and foremost make niyat to specifically only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time when saying Allahu Akbar, have this thought in mind that you have absorbed yourself from both the worlds and lift your hands. Aur Allah jalla shanu ke samne hadir ho gaya hu. And now understand that I'm in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aur khara hone mein bahut adab aur aajizi ikhtiyar kare. When standing, then stand with great etiquette and with total a helpless state, like a beggar comes to a person's house, the way you see, the way he comes, and he purposefully will even make himself sound so humble, because he requires something. And as I say, some of us, we stand in salat, like we're standing in the street corner with the one knee bent, and especially in Tarawih time, then we're standing like we have no job to do. So stand like a person that is in need, like a person that is a total beggar. Lekin, apne aajizi ikhtiyar kare, aur lekin hukam ki taamil mein seedha khara ho. And in order to fulfill the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, stand up or nazar sajda ki maqam par jama rakhe and keep your eyes at the place of sajda. Subhanakallahumma parhe. That's the Sufi Iqbal's notes, just the gist of what we have discussed so far. To read sana first and foremost, fir alhamd sharif parhe, then read alhamd sharif. Then nazar is gone, what the discussion we had yesterday, explaining what is Surah Fatiha and this dialogue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the same riwayat of Muslim Sharif as Sufi Iqbal has mentioned. Then we will discuss the third lesson, Sabak Song, Ruku, Koma or Sujood. This has got to do with three aspects: the Ruku in front of Allah, Koma and Sajda. And Ruku also, this is from the khususiyat of Ummat Muhammadiyah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The previous Ummats had Salat, but they did not have Ruku in the Salat. This is specific to this ummah. So when making ruku, understand this is a special maqam specifically for us. So we shouldn't take short and quickly to get out of it. Unfortunately, many of us, and especially the ladies, unfortunately, one is to bend less, not like the bending of a man. That is because of the haya, etc. It doesn't mean that you should bend for a very short period of time. There's a difference between bending slightly and bending for a short period of time. And generally, unfortunately, women, they bend slightly and for a very short period of time. So it should be a complete ruku, that means the duration complete, and utter the tasbihat of ruku properly. So, to understand the subject matter, or just work with muflis, inayat be nihayat, is bacha alija ko malum karta hai. And now, a person has, so to say, formed a relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is standing as a beggar in front of that zat that whose bounties are innumerable. They have no boundary, they have no limitations. Stand in front of Allah with this thought that I am a beggar, I am a registered beggar, I am a fakir, and I am standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whose bounties have no bounds whatsoever. And then ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this, Hazrat has mentioned a few incidents to understand this bi-nihayat, Allah Ta'ala's mercy that has no bounds. As Mawlana Abdul Rahman Sahab explains, that one is that the incident of Dhunniyun Misri, from this we can understand to a certain extent this bi-nihayat, that Allah's bounties have no bounds. So he says once Dhunniyun Misri was sitting on a bank, and he was just sitting, and amazing that he seen that there was a scorpion coming down the hill at a very, very fast speed. From the movement of the scorpion, you realize it had a mission in mind. And it had some objective, because it had a purpose the way it was going down the hill. And it goes down the hill and it comes to the river. And he's sitting at the river bank and he's watching. And at the river bank, like he hired a boat, there was a frog that was waiting. And he jumped onto the back of the frog. And the frog took him to the other side of the bank. So he was very, very curious that a scorpion on top of a frog. So he followed quickly in the footsteps and to check what it was. And now the scorpion, the frog stops its mission at the other side of the bank, and the scorpion continues up. And he follows the scorpion. And he comes, and he sees the scorpion going to a person that is totally drunk. He's totally oblivious about, he's foaming in his mouth, etc. And he's in a pitiable state. And towards this man, a snake is coming. So this, and before the snake could sting this person, the scorpion stings the snake. And then he realizes the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That how Allah ta'ala looks after his makhluk. That such compassion and mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. That how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically looked after this drunk person. And Zunnun Misri, the thought came to his mind that for a drunk person, Allah ta'ala going to such extents. So Zunnun, Allah ta'ala instilled in him that Zunnun, we are the Lord and the creator of all. That those that worship us and those that reject us also. And we provide for each one. And from these type of stories, we can understand the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned regarding Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayh, what a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who left his kingdom to find Allah. But nevertheless, on one occasion, he was walking in the street, and he found a drunk person. And the person was foaming from his mouth, and he was totally in another world completely. So Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayh felt him sorry. So he took some water, and he gargled his mouth and he cleaned his mouth. So this drunk person got a shock. That the wali of Allah of such a nature. And he's doing this for me. And because of he was taken back, that he thought the wali of Allah is only engaged with people of piety, etc. That they've got time for sinners like me also. So he made tawbah immediately at the hands of Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayh. So Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullah alayh went home and he slept away. And at night he had a dream. And he seen a very high position for this drunk person. And he was surprised that such a high position that Allah Ta'ala has bestowed him is not even a few hours that has passed. So he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is this? So then Allah Ta'ala inspired in his heart this thought, O Ibrahim, anta ghassalta wajhahu li ajli. You have washed his face for my sake. Wa anta ghassaltu qalbahu li ajlik. And I have washed his heart for your sake. So within a few seconds he became the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not a wali of ordinary rank. Then as it mentions the story to explain this point that inayat bin ihayat, that Allah's blessings has no bounds. Or Fudail bin Iyad rahmatullah alayh, how did he become a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He was a highway robber. And all these three stories, as Hakim Sahib have explained, just a point of digressing. Especially those that give bayanat, ulama-i kiram, etc. that are sitting. That as Hakim Sahib has taught us this, and as Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib emphasizes this point also, that when making bayan, and if you heard an incident from somebody, mention the person's name. Therefore, if Hazrat learned a lesson from a teacher of school, etc., he would mention his name. Some Ahmad Bai, if he learned something from, he would mention his name. As I say, this is very, very effective in removing pride from a person. Because don't give bayan like all these are your unique ideas. Like last night you had a good sleep, and all these ideas came in your head. So he says it's very, very good for your islah. Whoever you heard and you learned this lesson from, mention his name. Because initially it will be very difficult to bring somebody else's name onto your tongue. Because you want to make sound everything like you are unique and whatever you say, it is totally fresh. No, Allah shukr, these are all things that we have heard from our mashayikh and buzurgs. And this is the only thing that we know also Allah's fazl, what we have heard from them. Like for example, one person, he's listening even to Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Khan Sahib rahmatullah alayhi. And Hazrat Muridin also is the same kafiyat was there. So one person brought one of his satis, his friends, one intellectual, and he brought him to Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Khan Sahib's majlis. And the whole majlis, Hazrat said, he's referring to Mawlana Shafi'i Thani rahmatullah alayhi. So then he asked this person, that amazing, he told me he's a very intelligent person, but the only thing he does is quote his Hazrat. No unique things from his side. So this person mentioned this to Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Khan Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, after that I brought the sati. And the sati says this, Hazrat said. So he said, Wallah, sachka. Truth, he has spoken the truth. We have nothing by us. Whatever we have is what we have acquired from our mashayikh, etc. So this affiliation and attributing to them is very, very good for oneself. And first of all, that the mention of these mashayikh, in the in dhikri salihin. At the mention of the pious, Allah Ta'ala's mercy comes down. So by mentioning the name, one is the barakat of their name, Allah Ta'ala's mercy sends. And secondly, it makes the person remain humble all the time. That this I heard from my Shaykh, this I heard from my Ustad, this I heard from Ahmad Bai in the Masjid. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. So as I mentioned about Fuzail bin Iyaz, that he was going on a mission for highway robbing, and they thought they would rest before they go, they had their swords, etc. And he lied down under a tree, and he seen two green trees and one barren tree. And he found it amazing that while he was looking at this tree, and he seen a bird flying from the green tree taking dates and going to the barren tree, and there is a nest, and it's throwing the dates from a distance. So that intrigued him, because how is it throwing the dates from a distance into this nest. So out of curiosity, he said, let me find out. So he went and he climbed out this tree. And he finds in this tree a blind snake. A blind snake. That Allah Ta'ala is providing for this blind snake through this bird. The transport service. Transport service. Allah Ta'ala is providing. And from that he immediately made tawbah to Allah. And he started crying profusely. That when Allah is looking after his creation like a blind snake in this manner, then why do I have to rob people in order to get my sustenance? So immediately he told his satis about what he had seen. They all made tawbah, they broke their swords, and they started a path of righteousness and piety. Then when Allah provides in this way, why do you have to choose the wrong path? Allama Alusi Baghdadi rahmatullahi, explaining the quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Dhul Jalal wal Ikram. And the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat explains, Hazrat Hakim Sahib explains, that Dhul Jalal, a sahibul istighna'il mutlaq, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is totally independent, and al-Ikram, sahibul fadl al-tam, whose generosity is overwhelming, it encompasses everything. That is Dhul Jalali wal-Ikram. So anyway, Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu salam, on one occasion when he read this sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Dhul Jalali wal-Ikram, he wanted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show him the practical manifestation of this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told, O Musa, that there is a big rock, strike the rock with your staff. So he struck the rock with the staff, and the first cord and the shell just fell off. Then Allah instructed Musa to strike a second time. He struck a second time. The second cord fell off. Then Allah asked Musa, the shell fell off. Then Allah asked him to strike a third time. The third shell fell off. Then in the core of this rock, he sees a green worm with a green leaf in his mouth. Astonishing. In the crevice, in the depth of three layers of rock. Then Allah Ta'ala made Musa alayhi salam hear the tasbih of this worm. And what tasbih this worm was making? Subhanalladhi may yarani. Glory be to Allah who sees me. As it translates, that glory be to Allah who knows my physical address and who can see me. Wa ya'rifu makani, and he sees my place. So one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees me, he knows my physical address, wa yarzukuni, and he sends the truckloads of goods to me. So that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inayat bin nihayat. Allah ta'ala's bounties have no limits. Is bacha alija ko malum karta hai. So you become aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bari ta'zeem se arzu pabusi karke jhukta hai. So now after reading Surah Fatiha, reading Surah Ikhlas, understanding that you have no greatness within you. And we mentioned this over and over in Ramadan, that the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is annihilation. A person that does not annihilate himself in front of Allah will not reach Allah. And this tariq of suluk, this is the first part and the last part of tasawwuf, that you annihilate oneself. Therefore to take bi'ah to a sheikh. Because initially it is very difficult. Many brothers that might have come here are still reluctant. The thing that is reluctant is the ego that is reluctant. Whether whichever sheikh that is in conformity to your blood group, as Rakim Sahib explains, or in conformity to your blood group, whose temperament is like your temperament. But the nafs does not want it, the nafs doesn't want to bow to anybody else's commands. It is the ego that will prevent you. Although you'll give 101 reasons, I'm still not ready, etc. Ego is chalak. It's got different ways of arguing a thing. And delaying a thing. Because you have to be independent. Nobody must, where must you listen to everybody? Everybody must listen to what I've got to say. Nafs doesn't like that. So, this is the whole of the tasawwuf. Annihilation of oneself. From the beginning to one's end. To the end. So even in salah, understand this. Before you make ruku to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understand the grandeur of Allah through Surah Fatiha. Understand the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through your tilawat of Quran al-Kareem. Understand at the same time, not only the might of Allah, but your insignificance. Understand your beginning, from where you came, how, the extent of inability that you had in your life. You were a small baby, even if you had a pain, you could not even express where the pain was. Everybody were worried, were in a state of panic as to what is happening to the child. You could not even express where the pain was. They would take chances, maybe it's an ear, they would rub the ear. Maybe it's a stomach, they would rub the stomach. Maybe it's a back. If there was a fly, you could not even move the fly. If our intelligence was to such an extent that if they had to change our nappy, they had to catch our hands first, because just naturally our hands go in the wrong place. So understand your beginning. And understand this, you are standing in front of Allah's Zat, that whose bounties has no limits. Inayat bin Nihayat. Al-Kareem, Alladhi yatafaddalu alayna bidun istiqaf minna wala quwa. Kareem is that being that bestows upon us without us being worthy and without us having the potential for it. Alladhi yatafaddalu alayna bidun istiwal wala minna. Kareem is that being that bestows upon us without us even asking. With so many things we haven't asked of Allah and He has given us. Our liver, our lungs, all the various organs within ourselves, Allah has given us without even us making a request. We didn't even know we require it to function and to live. Alladhi yatafaddalu alayna biduni khawf ayyan fadama indahu. Al-Kareem is that being that bestows upon us without fear of diminishing by His treasury in any form. Al-Kareem alladhi yatafaddalu alayna fawqa ma natamanna bi. Kareem is that being that bestows upon us beyond our expectation. Far more than our expectation. So that is Allah. So with this thought, then make ruku to Allah. Who am I bowing to? Who am I surrendering to? And Hazrat explains, and recently also he explained, that don't just make the outward action of ruku. Submit to Allah in ruku. Let your brains make ruku to Allah. Let your ego make ruku to Allah. What you stand for in your position and your status in society, let it bend in front of Allah. Then enjoy ruku. That I've given my all to Allah. I have no value in front of Allah. Who do you bend in front of? That being that has full strength, total strength. Who bends? The one that requires to bend. So this is how we make ruku in front of Allah. That you submit totally your mind, your jazbat, your thought. You surrender in a sense to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you say what is from the bottom of your heart and understand what you are saying. Subhana rabbiyal azim. That glory be to Allah. In other words, subhan, that Allah is free from all faults. And with the barakat of saying subhan, inshallah, if a person concentrates on those words, that Allah ta'ala will start removing his faults from his life. But today we wondering that the faults that I am with and the bad habits that I have, whether it is my temperament, whether it is jealousy, hatred, etc., nothing is leaving me. Make salah properly. With the barakat of subhan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove your faults also. Allah is free of faults. Whether we say Allah is free of faults or not, Allah is free of all faults. Today if the whole ummah decides not to say subhan any longer, that will not mean that Allah ta'ala has any fault. And now no faults will drop off Allah any longer. Allah is as He is. Laysa kamithlihi shay. There is nothing like Him. So subhan, Rabbi, my sustainer. Who is the sustainer? The one that has given me wujud, existence from non-existence. That has nurtured me and cherished me with love and compassion. Till He has taken me to fruition and culmination and perfection. That is Allah. Understand when I say subhana Rabbi. That glory be to Allah. My Allah is totally free of all faults. Not only genuinely out of fault, and there's no fault that can be attributed to Allah. But even according to the imagination of people and thought, if they even have the slightest inkling of any falsehood towards Allah, or any negativity towards Allah, Allah is free from even the thought that people might have of any faults attributed to Him. That is my Allah. Subhan, Rabbi, my sustainer, Al-Azim, the one of majesty. Paaki mere sahib, bara azmat wala. And in this azmat of Allah, understand your insignificance. Through that salat, humility will come. That salat will not bring you to pride. Because you have given your all to Allah. You have expressed your deep felt feelings towards Allah. You have acknowledged the presence of Allah, the grandeur of Allah, the might of Allah. At the same time, your insignificance. And make sajda, make ruku to Allah in this way. Surrender yourself to Allah in this way. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Ruku dalal karta hai is baat par ke hudur mein basabab azmat ki peeth meri jhuk gayi. This one other way we can understand ruku. Till now you are standing in front of Allah. You are praising Allah, glorifying Allah with tana, with surah Fatiha, joining a surah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now out of the grandeur and the might of Allah, you cannot stand. Just naturally, your back has just bent in front of Allah. It is a natural process. It is not something that you have to make yourself do. When you acknowledge the grandeur of Allah, so to say, your back has just naturally submitted to the azmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Baad uske ta'zeem ki dua hai, then mention the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after making ruku, is tarah par ke sami Allahu liman hamida. It is just not empty praises, or that nobody is listening to your praises. Look at the beauty of salah. After you say subhanahu rabbi al-azim, you are mentioning your heartfelt, the feelings of your heart. You are expressing to Allah that you are majestic, you are full of grandeur, and you are free from any faults, and I accept and acknowledge this totally without any reservation. And Allah Ta'ala acknowledges what you are saying. Because immediately when he says, Sami Allahu liman hamida, Allah has heard the one that has praised him. So this also, just concentrate on this. Don't read it as lip service. That my Allah is listening to me. My Allah is giving me personal attention. My Allah is acknowledging my praises. Like yesterday I mentioned, that we basically, the wife, not we, mentions her love for us. And we think like Gujaratis, the response for love is to say G. So she tells you, she loves you, and you mean the world to her, you say G. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, when somebody expresses their love, in turn, respond to the love. Sahaba, you should tell. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us the dua, that they would say, Inni uhibbuka fi Allah, that we love you for Allah. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would say, that may for whose sake you love me, love you also. So the respond to love and expression of love is not G. That you tell your father when he speaks to you, say G. So express love. So your acknowledgement, this is a beautiful thing. Subhanallah, if a person can just think for a second, my Allah is acknowledging my praises to him. If a person sends a message to his sheikh, and his sheikh smiles and somebody conveys that message, that you know, we gave the message to the sheikh, and he smiled at your message. How happy we become. Seriously, he smiled. How long was he smiling? For how long did he say anything after that? Yeah, we are acknowledging that Allah has heard me. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq.